I see what you're doing here. I see what you're doing. You're trying to make me upset. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, yeah. Rocket can.
I totally get it, Meg. It's been a long time since my football team has lost, so I'm curious what the experience is like, because you went through it on Sunday, but as an Eagles fan,
yeah.
It's been a really long time. I mean, there was a playoff game last year, but...
Yeah, where you guys maybe got smoked by the Bucks. But yeah, what could it be like for you? The Eagles look amazing, yeah. And yes, I see what you guys are doing, and I'm not going to freak out. I'm not freaking out. I was freaking out yesterday for a little bit because that's a crushing way to lose if you're the Bills, right? Once you get something handed to you, a gift like the butt punt, that's never going to happen again. I mean, you're never going to get – I mean, it's so rare. It's like Haley's Comet, Perloff. You're not getting butt punt.
I've watched football a long time. I've never, ever seen another butt punt.
So, it only happens in college a lot.
it does, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if they meant off the field or off it, but I think
You never get a game that actually has a label. That would have been the butt punt game, but the team that the label would have gone against actually won, so you screwed up the whole label of the game.
Of course. Just blame one more thing on the Bills. They couldn't even get the butt punt
right. Yeah, yeah. They screwed up everything. Here.
Yeah, they screwed up everything. Well, 8 underdogs won yesterday, so a lot of people were going home unhappy if you were betting favorites or if your team was a favorite yesterday. We'll start here with that Miami game because it was, first of all, incredible for Miami. Like, kudos to them. You know, the Bills basically... You know, if you just looked at the statistics, you would think that Buffalo won this game by 40 points.
Yeah, true.
And the fact that Miami found a way to gut this out after the butt punt, after, you know, the weather. Listen, I know you live in Miami. Like, people, the Dolphins live in Miami, not you, Perloff. The Dolphins do. Maybe they're a little more used to the weather. But if they said it was really 120 degrees or so down on the field, that's difficult for every team. Plus, you have Tua, who gets hit on a late hit by Matt Milano, goes back, knocks his head against the turf, is wobbly when he gets up, and nobody thought he was going back into that game. He plays in the second half. He said it was a back issue, and I thought he played admirably. I mean, that was a very interesting win by Miami, but a gritty win, and one that if I'm a Dolphins fan, I feel like this could set up to be a real magical year.
I don't. I mean, this is a phony 3-0.
Really?
I mean, they were trailing. They got smoked by the Ravens, and the Ravens... Just like the Ravens did yesterday, mysteriously stopped playing in the second half. The Patriots just did not take advantage of everything. And Mac Jones had a terrible game before he got hurt. And this game they got outplayed. I mean, this reminds me so much of last year's weather game with the Bills, where the Bills lost to the Patriots and Mac Jones threw 4 passes or whatever it was.
Yep.
Then they came back and smoked them in Buffalo. They're going to smoke them in Buffalo. They are the better team, and I have no doubt about that.
Well,
so this 3-0, they're going to probably make the playoffs. They're going to win a bunch of games.
Yep.
Their schedule's really manageable. This is not the better team in the AFC East.
Okay, I still might think that the Bills could be the better team, but I will completely congratulate Miami here. I mean, this is a team that...
Yeah, I mean, it's a week 3 win.
Well, but it's more than that, though. More than that, and it should be more than that, because this is a first-year head coach who is not costing his team or even close to costing his team. You have a quarterback who we thought was couple incompletions away from maybe getting benched and not being a starter in this league, who's answered the bell. I mean, I think if you're Miami, you probably are feeling so good because I bet your expectations for this season were maybe playoffs. And now at least you start off with a 3-0 start and you have a little bit of a cushion here. To be honest, the AFC might not be the total juggernaut that we thought. It has been hard for some of these offenses to put up points, which is shocking.
So I think the big debate is, are the Miami Dolphins a real Super Bowl contender? And I have trouble sometimes admitting that a team that has not been a contender is a contender.
Yeah.
I admit I'm slow to the storyline sometimes, but I don't think in this case, I don't really think they're in the mix like Cincinnati last year to go on a magical Super Bowl run. Maybe I'm totally underestimating that.
They have all the qualities. Don't they check the boxes? You have a quarterback that's not turning it over. You have a head coach that doesn't look like he's costing you anything and making mistakes. You have a good defensive line. Got to Josh Allen. I know there was backups on backups playing on the Bills offensive line. And when healthy, you've got good corners. I know the Bills put up a lot of yardage, but then they were stifled in the red zone. Where's the weak link? And you got great receivers. I'm sorry, I didn't bring up Waddle and Tyreek Hill are excellent.
So something seemed, they're 10th in the league in DVOA, which is sort of wins above expectation. And they're 3-0, which is, there's only two other undefeated teams. NFC East teams, ironically, yeah. The Eagles and the Giants, which is totally insane. But the point is, their numbers just are not saying that they're as good as their 3-0 record. There's just no way to look around. Yes, I'm excited about Waddle and Hill, too, and I love the Tua storyline. But that's a big step to say 3-0, which is so early in the season, into contender. I think people are making that too casually, and they're caught up in the moment.
May I present to you the Miami Dolphins' upcoming schedule? Now, we know there's really crazy weather that's going to be could be coming. I don't know if travel plans and stuff might get disrupted, but they're at Cincinnati on Thursday. Then they're at the New York Jets. Then they're home Minnesota, home Pittsburgh, at Detroit, at Chicago Bears. And then they get Cleveland with no Deshaun. And then Houston. Like, I'm not staring down murderer's row here from what we've seen in the first 3 weeks. I thought maybe Pittsburgh might be a contender this year. They're not. I mean, it doesn't look like they are. And there was like a nice bump for the Jets against the Browns. And then the Jets came back to life yesterday. So there's a lot of winnable games here for the Dolphins.
Definitely winnable games. But they're not going to be favored in all of those games. They're certainly not going to be favored against Cincinnati. Which is, and Cincinnati does not look good at all. So we'll see. Yeah, they could be 8-1. Listen, the Arizona Cardinals were 9-1 last season. Was it last season? Yes. Yeah. We saw the Panthers start 3-0 one season and basically lose every game. I just think that people just get so anxious to crown somebody after three games, and I just can't do it. And I'm probably going to be late to the party, but I do not see the Dolphins as a legit contender yet.
Man, I'm not trying to crown them too early. I'm impressed by what they're doing. And to be honest, I'm kind of, besides the Bucs, who like maybe had the worst showing, I'm impressed by the Jags too. I feel like Florida is having a moment, not the college. Unfortunately, the Hurricanes didn't do their part this weekend. But, you know, Tampa's offense, if that gets going, they have an excellent defense. We might be looking at all three Florida teams in the NFL getting into the playoffs. But let's listen to some sound from Tua. This was on being wobbly after he took that big hit from Matt Milano. Here's what he had to say.
Kind of felt like I hyperextended my back or something. And then on the next play, I kind of hit my back and kind of hurt. And then I got up, and then that's kind of like why I stumbled. My back kind of locked up on me. But for the most part, I'm good.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to call the guy a liar because he knows his body more than you and I do sitting on the couch at home. But
yeah.
That.
So the NFLPA is going to look into this. I don't expect much to come out of it. I mean, common sense as a fan dictates that it probably was a concussion, but if he says it's his back, that's fine, I guess.
I love how it's like, no, it's just his back. Like, that's not serious. Like, after your head, what's the next most serious thing? Probably your back, your spine. I mean, that's, I think, number two on the list of serious injuries.
Right, except there's no protocol for back. You can sort of determine your own path. Remember, I can think of a couple instances. Wobbly quarterbacks are so embarrassing for the league. Remember when Tom Savage was the quarterback for the Texans and was having convulsions? And I don't think they pulled him out of the game even. I don't even remember. But the protocol has always been really tough to enforce. So I get this. But I don't buy the back. Do you buy it?
Well, if you're saying that you don't think the Miami Dolphins are a legit contender, or you think this 3-0 is a little fool's gold or a little fraudulent.
I do.
And you do. I mean, Tua's back would be a concern.
Oh, his back is fine. There's no back problem.
His back is fine. He's wobbly. We're supposed to think it's the back, and it's not. Do you think he's lying about it?
I'm telling you right now, he's definitely lying about it. His brain rattled against the inside of his skull after he got hit by Matt Milano, and he was wobbling. Why would you? Have you ever seen anyone? Oh, he's got a bad back. He's wobbling along.
No.
You don't wobble. You hunch over.
Frankly, I've never heard of that before. But I don't. I would like to think that the Miami Dolphins, even in as bloodthirsty as you can be to win at all cost, I would like to think they would take the long view not put Tua back in the game if they thought that he was concussed.
And go against 102 years of NFL history where no team has ever done that, has voluntarily kept a guy out. That's not what they do, Maggie. You know that.
I know, but it's supposed to be different now. Here's Mike McDaniel who's talking about how he would never put Tua in harm's way.
One thing I think that our players know more than anybody, there's certain things that I'm very sensitive to. I've been called emotional from time to time, and one of those things is player health, so I don't mess around with that at all.
See? And you love Mike McDaniel. You think he's just saying that?
Oh, I love Mike McDaniel. He's so awesome. But the NFLPA immediately called for an investigation. So there's obviously clear reason beyond just common sense. You can't watch him walking there and think, look at that guy wobbling around. He's got a bad back. I've had a bad back. It sure seems like a concussion. And if the NFLPA's swiftness on announcing an investigation to me says something was happening. Will they get him, though? I don't think that they're going to get penalized.
So according to Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk, it would take about 1 to 2 weeks for them to even get to the bottom of this whole thing. And you know us, by then, we're going to have moved on. But if it was a back issue, then maybe that's something where I could go with your theory that maybe the Dolphins are fool's gold. I don't believe it. I think this is here to stay. And that's not just because I picked them to make the playoffs the day they traded for Tyreek Hill. It's because I like how this team has come together. I mean, they were already a good team with Brian Flores. Now you're a good team with Mike McDaniel. The big question mark was Tua, and I don't see him, right now, he's not the problem.
So do they make you nervous as a Bills
fan? Yes, they do. They definitely do. Now, listen, there was a lot of reasons why the Bills lost yesterday. I mean, backups on backups. Obviously, the heat got to them. They were thin at so many different positions. But you can't blame that kind of thing. I just did. But ultimately, you got to play through it.
Okay, they missed multiple field goals. They had how many injuries? 10? 10 injuries, and it was 130 degrees on the field. And they still, by every metric, should have won that game.
Yep.
To me, that says they are clear and away a better team, unless this barrage of injuries continues.
Well, I'm concerned about that, obviously, as a Bills fan. And then, you know, you're kind of concerned about the fact that the Bills in close games have not been awesome. You know, you can point to some games here and there. A home playoff win against the Colts against Philip Rivers is one of them. Home playoff game against the Ravens is another. But basically in close games, it's not awesome. Last year they were 0-5 in one score games. It's something. It's definitely something to keep your eye on because they're just so Josh Allen heavy.
Yeah.
And so if Josh Allen has a play like where he, you know, shorts the ball to Isaiah McKenzie, which is so rare, then you're not going to win. Like, he's the one who has to make the play.
That was very mysterious how he missed that pass. I think he was exhausted. This is just a heat game. We actually said last week, if you remember, you and I were saying this Miami game could be a trap game. They're getting so much hype in Buffalo.
Yep.
And we know it's going to be 1,000 degrees on that field. So, of course, they're going to blow a game. And I think this is good, Maggie. I think you should be psyched. 2-1 is a much better position than 3-0 and having the whole world talking about how you're going to go 17-0.
Okay,
that is not good.
Are you not psyched that the Eagles are 3-0 and that Jalen Hurts is now has the second highest odds to win MVP? You're not happy about that?
I'm absolutely thrilled. But I always I have a conspiracy theory that Belichick often wasn't so upset at early season losses. Remember the year Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games?
Yep.
Jimmy G started out like a house on fire. Then Bill just pulled it back. He's like, no, this is not going to work. We have to put in Brissett there and lose a close game.
Is that
game.
How it went? I thought Jimmy G got hurt.
Yeah. Well, anyway, either way, Bill happened to lose a game to get the guy. There's nothing like Bill Belichick coaching off a loss. I think this is good for Buffalo. I think they're going to get their act together. They were getting a little loose there in the heat.
Yeah, maybe. If they could all walk today, I don't know. I feel like they probably were crawling to the plane in Buffalo.
Gatorade, baby.
Yeah.
I'm like that after every Saturday basketball run I have.
I know. You're like same.
I'm exactly like
you're
that.
You're like Josh Allen laying on Tua like they're two heavyweight boxers that are just like in the 14th round.
It's when I think terrible. Of Josh Allen, I think of Perloff in his Saturday pickup hoops game.
So I'm like elite athlete.
I get home. I sit on the couch. I try and drink water, but I inevitably am sitting there eating crackers or something, watching college football. Then if something happens, if I sneeze or something, my whole body goes into cramps. I don't know if you guys are like, when you're dehydrated, and then I cramp, and I'm in so much pain. I'm like, honey, get me some water. I'm cramping again. It's exactly what happened to the Bills. Does this happen to you guys? Or?
No. From sneezing? No.
No.
Yeah. Also, let's be honest. I'm not working out that hard. I'm doing it more just to say I did it.
Yeah, actually, Sampter, Stu, you guys don't really do any higher intensity aerobics, do you?
No, not at all.
I bike a lot, but that's
about
it. I know,
we see you on the city bike. You're not getting, that's not rigorous
exercise. That's not Lance Armstrong.
That's like, please, somebody don't hit me in the streets of New York. That's
with
defense.
My, with my gigantic helmet on and my city bike.
Your Lord helmet. Nice job.
But you know what has actually fixed that whole cramping problem? You guys are not going to
pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
I know.
Oh, you know about my pickle juice theory?
You've told me about it 10 times.
I love the pickle juice. pickle juice, just get a jar of pickles, drink all the juice out of it, and you will not cramp the rest of the day.
I don't know
what happened to Buffalo, why they didn't use the pickle juice theory.
Buffalo a little more pickleback shots than they are just pickle juice to hydrate. Yeah,
great point. That probably would work too.
Maybe. 855-212-4CBS. We see you guys on the phones. You want to agree with Perloff that the Miami Dolphins 3-0 start, fool's gold. Not real. Not going to be a contender. I'm scared to death of them. Those are the fastest wide receivers. They've got a good defense. Yeah, they gave up a lot of yardage to Buffalo, but, I mean, final score says it all.
Butt punt. That's all I have to say about Miami.
They won the butt punt game.
I don't know.
Put it in the museum. I mean, who wins when they have the embarrassing play?
You put the butt in the museum or the ball that hit off the butt?
You put the butt. You put Morstead, his cleats. You put the other guy's pants. You need every part of the play.
I think you just make a giant photo of it, an image of that moment where it's sort of stuck in his butt. That was that's the moment, right?
Yep, that would be the moment. See, the funny part is later on Sunday night game, you get Jimmy Garoppolo who makes the bad faux pas in the end zone.
Yeah.
They don't win. We get called it the Orlovsky, but they didn't win that one. How rare is this for Miami? You actually win when you have the embarrassing play. That's amazing. They're like Superman.
We got to have a big debate if Dan Orlovsky is really off the hook. Because his was so much worse than Jimmy G's. And I love Dan Orlovsky.
No,
he's a great guy.
Jimmy G's is worse. We can talk about this.
Oh,
I'll tell you why
disagree.
Jimmy G's is worse.
Oof.
A lot worse. 855-212-4CBS. A lot. 855-212-4227. So you guys, we'll get to you in just a moment. Hang tight. We want to hear from you today. First, as I said, Perloff thinks the Dolphins are toast. I am scared of them. Coming up next, we have two quarterbacks that are struggling more than we ever thought. We'll tell you why we think that is next.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights. The International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. All sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. By the way, Maggie, drove down to Philadelphia this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love this. All of a sudden, the computer in my car stopped working altogether.
Like the sound system and
the
navigation?
No. The computer that controls everything that happens in your car.
So
I'm driving, but I don't have a left turn or a right turn signal. I don't have any kind of way to tell how much gas there is. There's none of the safety things.
But the car was still moving.
The car was fine. Apparently, the car company, which I do not want to sell out, send an update. And did you know that your car's computer is constantly communicating with the mothership? I did not know that.
I don't think my car is doing that.
Well, I have a 2018 company I will not name.
Yeah.
They sent an update, and all of a sudden, most of their cars stopped working.
Oh, gosh.
So I had to find a dealership. I was driving down to Philadelphia to see my parents, and it was a complete disaster. So we had to get off and find a dealership to update this.
You're lucky, the airbags didn't just inflate or something.
Anything could happen. It was terrifying. I did not know my car was connected computer-wise to some other thing. Yeah. I thought a car just existed on its own.
Perloff, they're always watching.
Yeah. Did you guys know your cars were
brother,
smart?
Big Auto.
Did not know that. No.
My car is not smart. I have a pretty old car, so it's not.
Yeah. So mine's 2018.
My car's dumb. I also will not name the company.
I've seen your car. Your car is young enough, you'd be surprised.
My car's young enough. It just looks good. It had some work done. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Wait, what year is that car?
I think 2017.
Oh, that is totally hooked up.
Oh, I don't. Maybe they're just listening in our conversations.
No idea.
That's why I'm getting weird ads.
Yeah, Big Brother is basically, he's all over us.
Okay, so big show debate, couple of them going on here. Number one, Perloff thinks that the Dolphins are fool's gold. This 3-0 start is really just, I don't know. I'll let you speak for yourself.
It's like a lot of teams, a 3-0 start. They might win some games. I don't think they're a real Super Bowl contender.
Okay, and I am deathly afraid of the Miami Dolphins, especially now. We'll get to our Dan Orlovsky, Jimmy G, whose end zone foible
Can I just
was
say,
worse.
Before we get the call, you generally are a quite fearful Bills fan. You're always half glass full. You're always waiting for something to go wrong, and I know why.
You would be too. Let's go to Mark. He's in Miami. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I was at the game yesterday, and man, that's a bitter pill of loss to swallow. I'm still say I'll give Buffalo the credit and still say they're a better team. And that's a tough way to lose, though. They actually manhandled. I know that heat and that humidity really got to a lot of the Bills players there, because if that game's in Buffalo, they probably win it by 3 touchdowns. That's the big advantage of having these home games here.
Yep.
In the month of September, man. It's probably over 100 on that field there. It was 92 in the stands there, and I was in the shade. I can only imagine it's over 100 plus with that humidity. And just the way they lost. So Josh Allen, I don't know if he was just exhausted or gassed. He had a wide open, I think that was a Gabe Davis there in that end zone, on that out there, and he just threw it on the ground like he was.
Yeah, McKenzie. Yep. Yeah, Gabe Davis dropped a pass, which was bizarre. I think he was gassed too. Stephon Diggs is cramping. But you know what, Mark? The thing is about it is just a home. It's an advantage for the Dolphins, just like, you know, when they see the Bills in December in Buffalo, hopefully it's sub-zero. You know, you got to
use what you have. Bills want the home field to playing in that climate there. But I got to take a bone to pick with old Perloff there. I know your Eagles are 3-0, but come on. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me. I'm looking at across the AFC, objectively speaking, not even being a Dolphins fan. Besides, I'll give Buffalo the respect. I still think they're still a better team, even though they lost yesterday. And besides maybe the Chiefs, I'm looking at the AFC South and North. Who scares you? I'll give you Buffalo and the Chiefs. Nobody else, you can't tell me objectively that the Finns can't beat. I said 11-6 to you guys before the season started, and I might pound the over because I'm looking at the schedule. And like I said, we can't predict the future, barring major injuries, you can't predict that. I just don't see them losing more than that, maybe 5 games, because you just mentioned they're not a contender. Who has the explosiveness of this offense? I mean, Buffalo dominated that game. They held them down, and Jalen Waddle with that pinpoint pass from Tua on that 3rd and 22.
Yeah, it was huge.
Just take that one play. So
you know, Mark, it's great too. Like, think about it. Your 3 wins: New England, Baltimore, Buffalo. Like, you would think those would be the 3 of the more. I know New England's down a little bit this year. Now Mac Jones is hurt, but like, those are like 3 of the more heavyweights in the AFC.
Wait, there's no way New England is a heavyweight in the AFC.
But traditionally, and with a head coach that everyone really respects, they were a playoff team last year. A good one, but a playoff team.
No, I totally agree with your point. It is wide open, and the Bengals made the Super Bowl last year. They could easily be this year's Bengals. I just don't see it.
You know, it's wild. And Mark, thanks so much for the call. Glad you had a fun time at the game. You got a good one yesterday. It's like, we thought the AFC was just going to be, I was calling it, you know, the NFC, the JV division. I mean, right now, the AFC offensively, I mean, doesn't look like it's this crazy juggernaut, you know, like I thought it was going to be, especially the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is last year, NFC had a better year than the AFC. They beat them in head-to-head by, I think, a game. I think it's an even wider gap. There's a lot of experience in the NFC. You got the Rams, Bucks, and Packers, who are all completely imperfect, but it's still Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and a Super Bowl-winning Matthew Stafford. Look at the quarterbacks now. How do you rank the quarterbacks? You got Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
Lamar, by the way, was like launching an MVP, another MVP season, basically under the radar. This could be a magical season for him, like Aaron Judge in New York, where you have a contract year, you bet on yourself, and now you're going to, you know, win the MVP.
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, Justin Herbert's kind of falling apart. Joe Burrow's falling apart. Maybe they'll pick it up. Is Tua really going to be that guy?
Well, I don't know. The Chargers lost their left tackle today. Rashawn Slater, now reports are saying he's going to be out for the year.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Herbert's falling apart. That he's dropped right out of the picture.
That's such a shame. We'll get to more of that in just a moment. Brian is in Omaha, is a happy Dolphins fan today. Hey, Brian.
Hi, and I want to sorry for lying so profusely last Friday, saying my Dolphins weren't going to show up. Well, the defense did, and I'm thankful for that. I want to apologize for the pass interference no call that would have put your Buffalo Bills down on the 1-yard line late in the game. That would have definitely beat my Dolphins. But I'm in shock. And
Brian, we knew what you were up to on Friday. You were calling in. You were doing the reverse jinx. Perloff and I invented the reverse jinx. We know about that.
Our lives are reverse jinxes. Yeah.
Literally, it's like our life philosophy. It's our religion. Hey.
But Tua, you know, he reminds, if you send your kid outside to go play and you put 2 eggs in his pocket, the chances are they're going to break the next time that kid comes in. And that's how I feel as a fan. Your quarterback has got 2 hard-boiled eggs, and he's mad. I don't want to see him. I'm sicker now than I was Friday.
Really? Oh my gosh, Brian, enjoy it. I mean, Josh Allen, thank you for the call. Always appreciate it. Josh Allen is too exhausted to even be upset after the game. He was basically a puddle on the field.
Mm. I totally get his fandom, though. If you also feel like Tua might be injury prone because he's so small. That was definitely a scary
thing. I don't know.
Thing.
See, that's the thing. Like, you're injury prone if you're small. You're injury prone if you're Josh Allen and you run. It's just a violent sport. You're just injury prone.
I don't know. Brady and Rodgers played as badly as they possibly can on Sunday. They both walked away just fine.
I guess.
I don't know. I
Brady took a couple more hits, though.
Yeah, but eventually Tua is going to have to stand in there and take some big hits, and it's tough. All right, listen, I understand the Dolphins fans are killing me right now, and you should, but 3-0, what does 3-0 mean in the NFL? Are there any metrics that 3-0 teams?
I know 0-3 is not pretty.
The Giants are about to go 3-0 possibly, and you cannot possibly tell me they're a Super Bowl contender.
Well, how about playoff contender? How about that?
Well, that's like, not what people are saying about the Dolphins. No one's saying the Dolphins are a playoff contender. That conversation is long since gone by. Now everyone's got them contending in February.
Well, because now they're a game up in the AFC East. So, I don't know. Maybe they have a shot at winning the division. And maybe, you know, look at what happened yesterday. Obviously, the Bills lost yesterday at the hands of the Dolphins. You had Kansas City lost yesterday. You mentioned the Chargers. They lost yesterday. Las Vegas can't get out of their own way. Jacksonville looks good. Titans, I'm not sure. And Colts, I'm not sure. I mean, why not the Dolphins? Let's go to Rob. He's in Canada. Hey, Rob, how are you?
I am very good, and I'm disappointed to hear Perloff's comments for two reasons. One, everyone is willing to crown the Bills when they beat the Rams. If you remember week one, when they beat the Rams, yep. Everybody was willing to say, you know what, this is clear cut, the best team in the NFL.
Right.
Then when Miami beats them, it's, oh, well, there's injuries. Oh, there's this, there's that. Well, I have news for you. Everybody was cramping up. Everybody was coming in and off the field there. Diggs went out like three times, yep. Four times. So everybody was cramping up. Everybody was having issues. Maggie made a good point when she said that it's a home field advantage to have the heat, just like Buffalo has the cold. So there's no real advantage here. I think the two teams played, and the thing that people are talking about more is the stat line. Well, Josh Allen got stopped at the end of the first half, and he got stopped at the end of the game.
Oh, that was such mismanagement at the end of the first half.
At the end of the half. And they got no points at the end of the game.
I know, Rob. I'd love to credit the Dolphins on that, but I also feel like the Bills just, they totally, they're either outsmarted themselves or bad play calling. That the end of the half, the first half was ridiculous. And then obviously the end of the game was crazy.
And he was inches away from a pick six there, if you remember, when he bobbled that snap and he threw it out to the sidelines there. If he was a half second late, that's going to the house. So Josh Allen, I think, and we were talking about that throw to McKenzie, people don't realize that if they watch him, his feet weren't set. So the reason why that throw wasn't there wasn't because of fatigue. It was because his feet weren't set.
It's funny, though, because his arm is so strong. You're kind of like it wasn't. Yeah. It didn't seem like that far of a throw, really. What was it? Maybe 10 yards or so. You're just like you're used to him being able to make that throw, even if his feet aren't set. But Rob, thanks so much for the call. And yes, give the Dolphins their respect.
Listen, Rob. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app and get +1800 for the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. Don't yell at me. Bet on the Dolphins if you're so confident that they are the team that you now think they are. Yes, it was a big win, and yes, they look like a playoff team, and they'll probably beat up on the Jets like everybody else does. But, you know, if put your money where your mouth is. If you really, do you really think they're a challenge to the Bills? Do you think they're going to win this division?
You know, I think they have the tools. Like, yeah. And if the Bills are going to continue to, you know, be plagued by injuries and some bad decisions like they did, you can't, like, this is what I hate this as a fan. I don't know if anyone else is with me on this. But when you're playing on the road and you're playing in a tight game, when you elect to try crazy things at the end of halves as opposed to taking what is more surefire points, even if it's just kicking field goals, that bothers the absolute crap out of me.
Once again, it's weird as an Eagles fan, I can't relate to that because the Eagles at the very end of the half went for it on fourth down and had a beautiful touchdown pass to Devontae Smith. It all worked out.
I know because they were playing the freaking Washington Generals yesterday, not the Commanders. That was a team that didn't even have a thought about winning that game yesterday.
Well, the risk at the end of the half paid off. By the way, okay, Dolphins at DraftKings are +250 to win the division where the Bills are -250. That's a good value. Come on, listen, you know what I'm talking about. The Bills still seem, they went down to Miami in a very hot day.
Tough place to play. Brady Tough used to live to play. There, used to lose there all the time.
It still feels like common sense is the Bills are still a heavy favorite there. But the way people are talking, everyone's excited. I get it. It's a flashy team. I'm not there yet.
We will get to whose was worse. I don't know. Is that my phrasing this right? Who had the worst faux pas? Jimmy G in the back of the end zone or the original OG Dan Orlovsky in the back of the end zone? I think it's Jimmy G by a mile. And we'll get into what we saw last night with these 49ers against the Broncos. Yikes. That was not awesome, that game. And for a lot of reasons. We'll get to it in just a moment. Bottom of the hour, time for a CBS Sports update. Here's Marco Belletti.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Maggie, sometimes I don't get you.
Okay.
You have a take that we'll get into about the Bills coaching staff, specifically their offensive coordinator, trashing his office.
Oh,
and
yeah, against, the Ken Dorsey.
You're against this, which is consistent. You don't like Tom Brady destroying tablets.
I realize I'm against you. Your segment is against the grain, but I realize that I'm against America on this, maybe the world. Everyone loved when he trashed his office after the Bills lost. I hated it.
Yeah, you don't like grown men tearing apart rooms or anything like that.
No, I don't. But I'm generally consistent on that.
But here's my big question. Yeah. I can't believe you think that Jimmy Garoppolo touching the back line of the end zone was far worse than Dan Orlovsky running around for about 8 seconds, 9 yards out of bounds with Jared Allen chasing him.
Yeah.
Why? Explain how. Okay. I think that Orlovsky was still worse. Why do you disagree?
So obviously that was a big moment last night in Sunday Night Football, and that was a game that was devoid of big moments. So this is ultimately becomes one of the biggest, which was Jimmy Garoppolo, who actually saved himself by stepping out of the end zone. He stepped out of bounds because then he threw a pick six. Yeah. So it's like even Tirico said on the broadcast, he's like, this is the rare occurrence where the safety is actually the better outcome here. Because Garoppolo was a mess last night. And like credit to the Denver defense, they were really good. But this was all the things like, oh yeah, I remember that. Jimmy G, the guy who totally misses open receivers, the guy who throws bad picks, the guy who has questionable decision making, and the guy who the 49ers basically have to coach around to try to get to the NFC Championship game. So that was, oh yeah, old Jimmy. Hello, old friend. I thought it was worse last night. First of all, let's remember Orlovsky's season. One of the only one of two winless seasons in the history of the NFL. That team was going absolutely nowhere. And while that game, his like the safety was the difference in that Orlovsky game, it was also the difference in the game last night where the 49ers lose 11-10. I believe the Orlovsky game, I think they lost like 12-10 or something like that. So similar stakes. Nobody was expecting the Lions to go anywhere. Orlovsky sitting duck back there. 49ers are supposed to be a good team, and Garoppolo is obviously a better quarterback than Dan Orlovsky was. No offense, Dan. And so it's much worse that it's Jimmy.
Yeah, but that actual play, there were two occasions this week where a safety actually helped. The butt punt, arguably, helped the Dolphins because they got much better field position on on defensively against the Bills. So I think a safety helped there. And then
the ensuing punt after the safety backed the Bills up. Yeah.
I think also San Francisco is able to flip the field position after their safety too. And like you said, it could have been a pick six. And Orlovsky, to his credit, afterwards explained, you might not want to go deep shotgun on it when you're at the inch yard line and blame Kyle Shanahan and said that was the dumbest play call he's ever seen. You got to get rid of the ball. So it was bad, but just the visual, the silliness of Orlovsky running around like he's not in the end zone, like he's not outside the back of the end zone.
I know. There was a thousand things we could have laughed about the Lions that season.
Yeah, where Jimmy G just sort of stepped on it by an inch or so. Yeah. I think that's why I'm saying Orlovsky was worse, because the actual play was worse. I mean, I loved watching it. You watch him, and he's running around, and he has no idea he's out of the back of the end zone. He's still looking upfield.
I know.
And he's 4 feet outside of it. So,
but he must have wondered, like, man, I almost ran into the field goal post here. Like, maybe I should move up a little.
So is it funny that America turned on Jimmy G last night? Maybe it was just you turned on him and just texting me about it. But everyone said, I can't believe everyone said, oh, this is why they wanted Trey Lance. Twitter, America, you've been killing Trey Lance for 6 months.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, we told you it was Trey Lance.
I'm going to come crawling back here because I thought in the middle of that game, I'm like, man, this probably would have been much better with Trey Lance. I forgot about all that Jimmy stuff. It's like the absence, you know, you forget things when someone's away for a while. It's like we forgot. Jimmy's just got, he's a fine quarterback, but he's got issues. Not that Lance doesn't, but like Jimmy's not the long term. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Who did you lose more faith in last night? Was it Jimmy G or was it Russell Wilson?
Actually, I never had a lot of faith that Russell Wilson was going to do anything yet. Nobody thought he was going to light up the world. But the pass rush was amazing last night. And Trent Williams'
defense was really good.
Trent Williams, the left tackle for the 49ers going out, was a complete game changer. Yeah. So, and Randy Gregory, a player that you were talking about in the offseason, was amazing for the Broncos. So I think both quarterbacks had a tough assignment. I mean, Jimmy G's stats were not that terrible.
No,
he was 18 for 29, 210 yards. Honestly, if Trey Lance had done the same thing, we probably would have been okay because Trey Lance is so young.
I know, but look at Russell Wilson's stats. You know, I mean, 20 for 33, 184 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions to go with that, and 6 carries for 17 rushing yards.
And also, if he has one target, if it's not thrown to Cortland Sutton, there might as well not be a play. It is a disaster. Judy is very, he's not picking things up. I don't know what's going on with Judy.
Yeah, pass went through his hands.
I want to be careful because Judy came at Shannon Sharp really hard on social media. But basically,
what are you afraid he's going to come at you?
Yeah, I like Jerry Judy. I think that, don't you give Russell Wilson a little more time to learn this offense? He's never played. This is a brand new offense for him. He brand new weapons. He didn't have a preseason.
Okay, but where's the bar here with Russ? Like, that's what I want to know.
Okay.
Because if he's a future Hall of Famer, elite, has good weapons, you know, I think the offensive line is fine. They block for him well in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, they block for him well. He had time.
Mm.
He's got a good run game in theory. Like, it didn't take Matt Stafford that long. It didn't take Brady long. It didn't take some of these other quarterbacks who switched teams that long where it looked this, like, just stalled. And the thing is about Russell, which is different than Stafford and Brady, is in theory, he's got this great weapon in his legs, and he's just not running.
Well, in the fourth quarter, he made the two big plays he made. One was a scramble. The other was an incredible play where he escaped up in the pocket. The blocking wasn't that good. And he threw against his body down the field. So he did make a couple plays. We saw old Russ finally in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they just eked out enough to score 6 points in the fourth quarter to get the win.
Do you remember that storyline about Russ Wilson trying to win the MVP? That feels like a long time ago.
He's
not getting any
votes.
You
mean Wilson?
Yeah, Wilson.
Just Wilson?
So, no, you know, it's funny too.
Okay,
but they are 2-1. And, you know, Russell Wilson is not killing them with a mistake. He hasn't thrown a lot of picks. He's not making terrible mistakes. And most importantly, Nathaniel Hackett had no time management issues last night.
How about the Broncos went 3-and-out 9 times last night?
Nine times.
Had to do it.
But so, their punting game was elite last night.
Yes.
Both teams were punting
up a
storm.
Wake up this Monday morning. Their punting was elite. And I actually know what you mean because it made like multiple highlight packages as well. Because it's like, this is the best play we have to show you in this game because this game stinks. But can I've been very hard on Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
As you say, Revolutionary War General Nathaniel Hackett. Guy's got a musket for an arm. But I actually have to applaud him. He brought in a retired former special teams coach to help him with the game managing. And while that in itself could lend itself to even more mocking and more like jokes, I'm actually going to commend the guy. You were way over your head. The team's too good to be making these kind of mistakes. If you want to call plays, which I don't know if you should be doing that, but if you want to call plays, then you got to hand this off. You need another set of eyes who are dedicated to this. I commend him for making a switch like this.
Yeah.
If it leads to one more win, you've done your job.
I don't know. Do you really think that team is so good? I mean, they're challenged in some ways. I think that O-line is not good. First of all, they held Nick Bosa on every single play.
Yeah.
And they only decided to call it occasionally.
I think it's hard to tell how good an offensive line is when you're playing against the 49ers. Their defensive front is especially ferocious.
Okay, we'll see. And I do get there's a lot of criticism that Russell Wilson's in shotgun every time. They should put him up under center and run the ball. They should give it to Javonte Williams 25 times a game.
Agreed.
And win with defense. But I don't think that's what that offense is. Okay, it's 3 games. Can't we just wait a little bit?
Well, I don't know because, like, it's 3 games, yes. And I know they're 2-1, so, like, obviously there's no sky is falling. But you also paid him. You gave away a lot to get Russell Wilson, and then on top of it, you gave him the quarter bill. You know,
yeah, but
it's a lot.
Yeah, you paid Derek Carr in their 0-3. You paid Kyler Murray in their...
You didn't pay Derek Carr that much.
You paid him a... Yeah, I know, but I think you were excited if you're a Denver fan and you have Russell Wilson there for a long time. I think you are. I'm not ready to give up on him.
Listen, Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, I mean, all three guys who... You know, we just sort of expect to have these really massive offensive days, just really didn't.
Yeah,
you know?
There's this graphic at the end of Sunday Night Football. The three Sunday Night winners this year are Tom Brady, who beat the Cowboys 19-3.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, who beat the Bears, and then Russell Wilson. So you see these three Super Bowl winners, like, who knew? They've been having the worst season, all three. This is the worst season any of them has ever had.
Yeah, they don't look like themselves.
Yeah,
at Rodgers
looks okay. Rodgers
a little bit more, but threw two picks yesterday.
Yeah, but I think he's getting some chemistry with those young guys. But Brady looks terrible. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
I win the ayahuasca.
Yeah.
And definitely. Why is playing well or playing badly for the interceptions? Yeah. I mean, it's rare to see Rodgers throw two in a game.
Yeah, but that paying Russell Wilson, I'm just saying there are a lot of guys who are getting paid who are not winning football games right now. You cannot. There's not a direct correlation.
Yeah, but no one thinks Derek Carr's a Hall of Famer.
Well,
no. Sorry, Stu. I didn't mean to make today worse for you.
No, he's not. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Stu is a resident Raiders fan around here, and he's just getting abuse from the coffee machine, the break room,
everywhere.
Can't go to the men's room without someone making a crack. Now I bring it up on the air. I'm sorry.
Disaster.
Rough.
We'll see how it goes. I'll take Russell Wilson over some of those other guys who got paid. I don't think Arizona's feeling great right now.
No, Arizona can't be feeling well either. What was the quote from Kyler Murray? Everyone's got to be, you can't be falling asleep out there. I'm like, oh, that's a good way to build team chemistry. Let's air out your receivers in public after week three. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, boneheaded mistakes all over the NFL yesterday. The one that stood out above the rest. We'll tell you next.